Welcome, welcome, welcome to Inside Vancouver Opera, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of one of Canada's most vibrant and innovative opera companies. I'm Ashley Daniel Foote, the Senior Manager of Partnerships, Engagement, and EDI. And today we are talking about Pride in Opera. We are joined by Leo Walker, who studies historical musicology, focusing on the production histories of Benjamin Britten's vocal works. How I met you is actually when we were doing Britten's Midsummer Night's Dream. I discovered that you were a Britten scholar, and how on earth did that come to be something that you do?
I got my undergraduate degree in voice performance and music history. In that, I would often study 20th century composers, namely Benjamin Britten, of course, Leonard Bernstein, Samuel Barber, some people who I'll be talking about today. I kind of became enraptured by Britten's music. And then when I started my graduate studies, I'd gone into studying new music, but I found my home in Britten just because there's such a wealth of content, of art, and of brilliance within a lot of his vocal works.
Talking of Benjamin Britten, I thought we'd play some excerpts from operas with queer stories. And one of those is Death in Venice, based on Thomas Mann's novel of the same name. Can you set up a little bit about what we're going to listen to in just a moment?
So what we're about to listen to is an excerpt from Britten's last opera. We'll see aging writer Aschenbach slowly become infatuated with this young boy, Tadzio. We'll hear a lot of elements about Britten's late period, namely the things that associate him with this transparency of queerness.
What is it they call him? A Jew, a Jew. They call him a Jew.
Music from Death in Venice by composer Benjamin Britten, one of the most famous queer composers. I want to think about the ways that we understand and interpret composer sexuality, indeed the thought of queering the canon. And when we think of Britten, how is that an important aspect of our understanding, or not maybe?
There's a multitude of literature about how we understand and how we queer the canon, so to speak. A lot of the time, it will be a close reading of the canonic composers, or just looking at archival material. Britten is a special case in that we have his letters. We have a lot of what he wrote, a lot of how he spoke to his partner, Peter Peers, both romantic and collaborative. In understanding the composer's sexuality, we look at what they've produced and we align that with what is going on within their respective histories. Thinking about people like Britten, Samuel Barber, Leonard Bernstein, Ethel Smyth, and even Handel. We look at how they were operating within their respective communities, within their respective societies, and how they interacted with those around them.
Let's talk about Handel, and some listeners may indeed be surprised to hear him on this list. I'd love you to contextualize that for us and explore what we know and how we know it.
There are a lot of ways that we can understand him. People like Alan Harris have written articles, books, essays about how we understand what source material can offer us if we were to read them through a queer lens. We look towards how he was operating within his social circles. Specifically within London, a lot of his close friends and patrons were actually operating within circles that were associated with queer activities.
Absolutely. You mentioned Ethel Smyth. Why don't you give us a little nutshell on who Ethel Smyth was?
Another English composer, early 20th century, one of her queer relationships was with the author Virginia Woolf. She writes about her relationship with Virginia Woolf and how she felt about it and how their relationship spawned a lot of her works and how it was kind of like a symbiotic, but also a very loving and inspiring relationship between the two.
I'd like to talk about another opera by Laura Kaminsky. It's called As One. It's a chamber opera in which two voices, Hannah the younger and Hannah older, Hannah Younger is a mezzo-soprano and Hannah Older is baritone, and they share the part of a sole transgender protagonist. Can you talk a little bit about As One and set up the song To Know, which we'll listen to a little bit of?
So it started as a commission for the American Opera Project. Something that is, you know, really prevalent within this opera is this journey towards self-realization. It's not really about the transition itself, but more of understanding who one is at their core. To Know lends itself to both performers and audience members taking a moment to understand or think about who they are at their center.
To Know, performed by Sasha Cook and Kelly Markgraf from Laura Kaminsky's As One.
When the coast is clear, I creep to the card catalog, thumb through the cards, my hands trembling. Transatlantic travel.
Well, you are listening to our Pride edition of Inside Vancouver Opera, and really, we celebrate Pride all year and all the time with queer voices and queer stories and queer artists. I want to do a little bit of a Canadian connection now and to talk a little bit about Rufus Wainwright's 2017 opera Hadrian, which was premiered at the COC with Thomas Hampson and Isaiah Bell. Tell us a little bit about this opera.
This is a story about the last days of the Roman Emperor, who is best known for building the Wall of Britannia. People may remember him as being openly homosexual, specifically within his relationship with a younger man, Antinous. Readjusting our lens on what history, specifically Roman history, may be, because homosexuality was accepted well within nobility, but, you know, because so many years have gone by and because there's a narrowing of the lens, we don't always get to hear these stories. So with this opera specifically, it highlights a story that has existed for a long time, but is often overlooked.
So let's listen to Without You, What Am I? Performed by Thomas Hampson and Canadian tenor Isaiah Bell from Rufus Wainwright's opera Hadrian. Fascinating. This is also so important, and it's wonderful as we study and learn about the ways that the composers that some of us may not have known were part of the queer community. When I think about Bernstein and Barber and Menotti and Corigliano, there's so much more that we can delve into. And so this is just a little bit of a scratching the surface of queer opera and queer joy and stories that are in our canon. So I urge you to take a look at the written transcript of this interview. We're going to put in some videos, some more links, and certainly a link to some of Leo's work as well. As always, I'd like to thank our editor, Mac McGilvery, and invite you to check out vancouveropera.ca to discover our 2023-24 season, The Magic Flute, Don Pasquale and Carmen. Tickets are available now, and I'll see you at the opera.